So I just wanted to start by telling you about a couple of university friends of mine. Let's call them Jack and Jill. When we started together at university, they seemed to be keen and committed Christians. They'd lead student Bible studies. They'd volunteer to help serve at events, telling people about Jesus. They even went on a mission trip at the end of our first year. But sadly, over time, you could sense their enthusiasm waning. Work, friends took more of a priority. They stopped coming to prayer meetings, coming to Bible studies. Now, whenever we meet up, they give all manner of excuses for why they haven't managed to get stuck into their local church. Or they just kind of avoid talking about Jesus altogether. And that's been really sad to see. I'm sure you've seen similar sorts of stories. So how do we stop that from happening to us? How do we keep going in our faith? Well, this isn't just a question for us today, but it's a question that Paul is addressing here for the Philippian church. As we read through the letter the past couple of weeks, we've seen that they are a committed, going-for-it group of Christians. Remember, in chapter 1, we read they were partners with Paul in the gospel. They've been committed to praying for him. In chapter 2, we see that they've even sent Epaphroditus to help take care of Paul. And so Paul is concerned that they keep going in their faith. Reread verse 1 of that chapter with me. "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." So the things he's about to say in this chapter, they're not new things, but it will help safeguard their faith. And so as we look through this chapter, I'm just going to pick out a few ways that Paul tells them to keep going. And, hopefully not a surprise, they're all to do with looking to Jesus. So, firstly, look to Jesus for your righteousness. Trust in the righteousness that comes from Jesus. We read in verses 2 to 7, Paul sets out two possible ways that we might think about getting right with God. One is putting confidence in the flesh, in those outward things you do to show how holy you are. The other one is putting confidence or boasting in Christ Jesus. Now, the specific danger for the Philippian church at the time was that the Gentile converts to Christianity were being told by Jewish Christians that they had to get circumcised to be properly right with God. And that's just one example of a works-based righteousness that says, yes, Jesus is great and everything, but if you really want to get right with God, you need to tick a bunch of other boxes. Obey the commandments, make sure you tithe properly, hang out with the right sort of people, make sure you get circumcised. And Paul is very strong when he condemns this. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. And he's so strong about it because it's completely contrary to the gospel that he's been preaching. The gospel that the Philippians have trusted in and which brings so much joy. The message of Christianity isn't that you need to tick a bunch of boxes, do all the right things, and look acceptable to God on the outside. No, the great news of the gospel is that on our own, we can't get right with God. But because Jesus died on the cross in our place, we have his righteousness. And we're accepted into right relationship with God through trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection for us. So Paul says, don't put your confidence in the flesh, in those outward religious actions. But rather, trust Jesus for your salvation. In verses 4 to 6, he basically says, if you're going to play that game, then I can outdo you. Someone else thinks they've got reasons to put confidence in the flesh. I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, etc. All those things that he fulfilled. In terms of outward religiosity, Paul had done everything right. He was born into the right family, circumcised at the right time, followed all the right religious rules in life. The Pharisees even made up loads of new laws to make sure they didn't break any of God's laws. And Paul had ticked all the boxes. But, he says, but, verse 7, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Those outward religious things didn't make him right with God. Trusting Jesus does. See, when we look at ourselves for righteousness, we're bound to feel doubt or anxiety because our faith is going to depend on our performance. And deep down, we know that we can't be good enough for God. So either we'll end up despairing because we know we can't live up to God's standards, or maybe we'll end up proudly looking down on others because they're not doing as well as us. But both of these, spiritually, are ruinous. It's only Jesus' righteousness that works, because it humbles us. It promotes deep joy. Looking at what Jesus has done is going to help us to keep going, because he has done it for us. So trust in the righteousness that comes from Jesus. Look to Jesus for your righteousness. Now, secondly, look to Jesus for your treasure. Value the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Paul goes on, verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Paul says that knowing Jesus is better than anything else, and it's worth giving up everything for. If you were to weigh them on the scales in terms of worth for him, knowing Jesus on one side, everything else on the other, knowing Jesus would win. He says it's got surpassing worth. Just to illustrate this quickly, I'd like to introduce you to Blockzilla, who is a character from the popular CBeebies television show Number Blocks, which teaches children about maths. You'll see that Blockzilla will always go for the thing which is greater than. He goes for the thing which has surpassing worth. So just as Manchester City surpasses Accrington Stanley, or a trip in the Caribbean surpasses a trip to your local Premier Inn, Paul says, knowing Jesus surpasses everything else. Blockzilla is going to go for knowing Jesus. He even goes on to say that compared to knowing Jesus, everything else is garbage or rubbish. And that word that's been translated like that, it's probably a bit sanitized. The actual word used is that of excrement or animal dung. Compared to knowing Jesus, Paul says, everything else is poo. Now, it's been a few years since we did kind of potty training with our daughter. But thinking back to that process, when she was about two, she was delighted when she managed to successfully do a poo in the potty, as were we. She would look up at us beaming as she pointed to what she'd done and expecting lots of claps for achievements. And although we were very pleased, it's still just poo. And this, Paul says, is what the other things that we might treasure are like compared to knowing Jesus. Look to Jesus for your treasure. I don't know what things we might list nowadays that correspond to those religious things that Paul listed earlier, those things that he treasured in his religiosity. Maybe it's things like having a great knowledge of the Bible, being on the praying rota for church services, being part of the choir. What about other things that you might treasure? Being successful or popular at work? Having the most immaculate house or garden? Being top of the league at fantasy football? Well, Paul says, compared to knowing Jesus, these things are poo. Firstly, because they don't get you right with God. Only Jesus does that. But they're not bad things. They're good things, but they're like excrement compared to knowing Jesus. It just shows how much Paul values knowing Jesus. And why is it that knowing Jesus is worth so much more than everything else? Well, it's because of the hope of eternity with him. All those other things, which may still be good things, can't compare to knowing Jesus because they're transient. They're only part of our lives now in this tiny little sliver of history that we're living in. And they won't last. But knowing Jesus means eternal life with him forever. So treasure that relationship with him. Look to Jesus for your treasure. Thirdly, look to Jesus for your future. Press on towards eternity with Jesus. Read on with verse 12, from verse 12 with me. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul has his eyes on heaven, the hope of eternal life with him. And he's pressing on towards that. You may have thought that Paul, who had given up lots and suffered lots to be able to proclaim the good news about Jesus, might think about taking a little breather and just float along in his Christian life for a bit. But no. He doesn't want to stand still in the Christian life, but he stresses the importance of actively keeping going, straining and pressing on. There's the image of running a race, looking ahead at the prize of heaven and straining towards it. I don't know if many of you are into running. I do a bit of it myself. And back in those pre-COVID days, I used to sometimes do the Abingdon Park Run on a Saturday morning, which is kind of 5 kilometres long. And I remember normally getting to about 3 kilometres, and just feeling like giving up. I'd get an increasingly painful stitch, my muscles would be tight, my joints would be sore, but I'd think ahead to the finish line. I think there's only 2 kilometres left, and so I'd press on. When I get through that final gate, I'd know that there was only 90 seconds of running left for me, and I could see the finish line up ahead. Looking towards the finish line helped me to keep going. And so it is in the Christian life. And that's what's going to keep us going in our faith. Looking towards that amazing hope of eternity with Jesus. New creation. Transformed bodies, Paul says in verse 21. And a right relationship with God. And, says Paul, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. If you're trusting in Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven. You don't belong in this world, but rather you belong in God's kingdom. I don't know how things are going for you at the moment, but in lots of ways, life right now might be tough. You might have job worries, struggles with illness for you or loved ones. You might be under lots of pressure to conform to the ways of this world in all sorts of ways. But remember, if you're trusting in Jesus, then you belong in heaven. The sufferings and trials we go through now will feel like a distant memory in eternity with Jesus. So keep going. Look to Jesus for your future. So that's how the Philippians and we can keep going in our faith. Look to Jesus for your righteousness, for your treasure, and for your future. And to tie it all together, I just wanted to return to that first verse we read in the chapter. Further, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Throughout the book of Philippians, we see this thread of rejoicing. And it's having joy in Jesus that's going to help us to do all of those things. See, when we look to Jesus for our righteousness, it's going to give us great joy because he did for us what we could never do for ourselves. When we treasure knowing Jesus, we'll have great joy because we have something that's worth so much more than everything else. It makes it all seem like poo. And when we look to Jesus for our future, we can rejoice in the amazing hope of eternal life with him. Whenever I preach at All Saints, I think I sometimes feel a bit underqualified or inadequate. I mean, I don't have any degrees in theology. I've got no formal theological training. I'm not ordained. I'm not even confirmed. I'm just a secondary school maths teacher who's used the word poo half a dozen times this morning. But God has shown me from this chapter that those outward things I might have focused on don't matter for my righteousness, my treasure, or my future. It's only knowing Jesus that matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him to die on the cross and that we can know him as our Saviour, Lord, and friend. I pray that we might trust in him and look to him for our righteousness, our treasure, and our futures. Amen.